Jack found it easy to outdistance Christy and Doc. The old man was deliberately getting in Christy's way, making it seem as though it were his own enthusiasm for the hunt that caused it. The albino could hear the frustrated woman yelling abuse at the old man, and Doc's muted apologies as he gained the necessary distance. He had two things to do. The first was to get to high ground to see if he could ascertain where Ryan and his mounted shadows were at the moment. It was important that he keep himself, Doc, and Christy apart from the one-eyed man until the time was right. The second was to find space from which he could double back and unite with Doc in their attempt to clear Christie's mind of the Baron's hypnotic suggestion. Jack could feel a slight incline in the ground beneath his feet, and he figured that this was as good a time as any to make the first of those moves. He could hear his pursuers were a good deal behind, and there was enough time for him to quickly ascend a tree to wreck the area around. He picked the nearest trunk, glancing up and judging the height to be enough to take him onto the necessary high ground. With an ease born out of years of practice, he shinned his way up the bole until he was hidden in the upper branches and their rich foliage. It was getting hard to see now as darkness was falling rapidly, but Jack's red albino eyes were better suited to these conditions than to the harshness of bright sun, and it took but a moment for the pigmentless orbs to adjust to the reduced light. He could see the one-eyed man making his way through the undergrowth, traceable more for the three riders that followed than by his own trail. He was heading toward the area where the muddy raccoons were still snapping at the retreating party of horsemen. That should hold him up for a while. Shifting in his perch, Jack could see Doc and Christy getting closer. The old man was still in front, holding up her progress. Jack allowed himself a small smile. Time to get busy. The albino moved toward them, using the branches of the trees to move from bole to bole, surprisingly weightless and quiet, despite the heavy combat boots. He crossed over their heads without either noticing, Christy too busy berating Doc for slowing her down. With a lithe grace, Jack dropped from the trees at their rear. It may not have been enough for them to have heard him above their bickering, but Christy's muty sense more than compensated for that. Even in the darkness, Jack could almost see the hair
Jesus,
suddenly tighten and curl closer to her skull. She stopped in mid-rant and turned toward him.
You little bastard. You really thought you could fool me? You really thought I wouldn't hear you?
She raised her Smith & Wesson, her finger tightening on the trigger, beginning to squeeze. Jack stood impassive. He knew it would go high and wide. He had total faith in Doc. And the old man didn't let him down. Doc knocked Christy's arm up with a blurted, wordless sound of anger. She whirled in surprise and caught the old man's bony fist on the point of her jaw as he swung a haymaker at her.
Think that worked for her like worked for you?
Doc looked up at him. Not sure if there was a hint of ironic humor in Jack's otherwise toneless voice.
I would not think so, but it does at least prevent her trying to chill you in the meantime.
The two men took hold of Christy, Jack grabbing her ankles, and carried her off the narrow trail and into cover.
Better bring around quick. Not much time to waste.
Doc nodded and produced the canteen of water that they had each been given at the beginning of the hunt. Pausing only to take a mouthful for himself and then offering to Jack, he poured the remains over Christy's face. She opened her eyes, a sudden shock making them snap from hazy semi-consciousness to full alert.
Doc! What?
She tried to move up, only to find the old man pinning her shoulders while the albino had her leg secured.
Christy, listen to me, my dear. Think about what you are doing. Why are you doing it?
Because... Oh, damn it, Doc! What are you doing? Ugh, he's there, the little fuck. You should have chilled him. Or you should have let me chill him.
Why, though? Think, woman. Why are we supposed to be doing it?
Because...
Christy's head was spinning. It ached from where Doc had hit her so hard, but it also ached for another reason. At the edges of her mind, there were nagging tendrils of doubt. Why was she chasing Jack? Why was she so keen to see him by the farm? Because he had... What, exactly? What was he supposed to have done? Who had told her? Told her? No.
Ethan!
He said we were to chill, Jack. He hypnotized us. But he is not as good as he thinks. The hold is not that strong, not if you fight it. And you must... We still have to fight back and find Mildred and dear John Barrymore.
Gaia, what has that bastard done?
Nothing that cannot be remedied. But first, we must get to Ryan and bring him back.
What about the riders? Surely
they got enough troubles. Not our problem, yet. First, get Ryan.
And I have no doubt that you know exactly where he is, dear boy.
Follow.
Ryan Carter was almost frothing at the mouth with frustration. He was hyped up to chill, and so far had seen no action. The initial plan to form a pincer movement had come to nothing, and as the darkness fell over the forest, it became more and more difficult to follow what exactly was going on elsewhere. Whatever it was a hell of a firefight that he was missing. He had heard the Lamar go off a couple of times, and some shots that he could identify as Christie, Smith, and Wesson. There had also been some muffled reports that could have been the magnum roar of Jack's Colt Python, followed by the incessant chatter of SMG fire, and the sound of muty animals, like those he could remember encountering on their journey to the Ville. Ryan's head ached horribly, and he felt confused when he thought of that. Jack had been with them then, so why had they not wanted to chill him? He had been their ally. What had changed? Why did he feel the way he did? It was hard for him to concentrate with these thoughts, and also the comments of the riders on his trail buzzing around his head. The Baron and the trader who were accompanying Ethan at his rear were less than pleased with the lack of action they were seeing and were blaming the one-eyed man. They were making jokes about his competence and asking if they could get their Jack back if they saw no albino. In this confusion, it was difficult for Ryan to ascertain the direction from which the hunt seemed to be proceeding. He stopped for a second, trying to get his bearings. It was then that he heard a single report that rose above the chatter of SMG fire. It was the Smith & Wesson Model 640. He would know that sound anywhere. He turned in the darkness, trying to pinpoint the direction of the sound. It seemed to be over to his left, about 2 o'clock. Ryan took the Steyr off his shoulder and racked a shell into the chamber.
Looks like One Eye's finally looking to do some hunting.
The Baron accompanying the trader agreed.
About time!
Ethan held up his hand.
Please, please! I have great faith in Ryan!
Ryan felt the beads of sweat on his face, felt his skin burn. There was something so very wrong with this, something that he couldn't quite put his finger on, something that was troubling him and stopping him doing the job as he should. But it wasn't. No, it just wasn't coming together. He turned and glared at the men behind him. He didn't like being watched. Hunt. That was what he needed to do. He needed to get moving, find his target, identify and chill. From the sounds of mayhem that were echoing over the forest, he was sure that Jack was still alive and running. No one had managed to pin him down yet, even if they were on his tail. It was time for Ryan to get in on the action. With his target identified, Ryan set off, carving a path into the undergrowth, heedless of whether Ethan and the other huntsmen would be able to follow. In fact, it would suit him fine if he was able to lose them. He could hear them struggling in the confined spaces on their mounts, receding into the distance. It will be just him and Jack, one-on-one.
You're sure Ryan will come this way?
No other way he can get here. He heard your shot, and I saw him head in this direction.
It would, therefore, be a reasonable assumption. But what about the riders on his storm?
Huh?
I am so sorry. I do not know where that came from. I meant, what about the three riders shadowing him?
Too dense for horses. They fall back. Maybe have to give up. Now shut up and cover.
It was a simple enough trap, and also stood a very good chance of not working, but it was all that they could do in the short time that they had. There was only one path that could be followed through this part of the woodlands, and the bracken and grasses covering the woodland floor provided thick cover that in some places was almost ankle deep. It was perfect for their purpose. Across the floor of the forest, running through the grass and bracken, Jack had tied a rope at a 4-inch height between 2 tree trunks. The rope was improvised from material torn from his shirt, and his concern was that it would rip under pressure rather than trip whoever ran into it, which was why they had built the second part of the trap. This was more vicious and was only a last resort. They wanted to stun and capture the one-eyed man, not injure him. A line of Jack's knives, connected together by being pierced through the grain of a long fallen branch, were laid across the path 3 yards past the rope. They were pointing up, and the three companions were smearing them with mud made from canteen water and dirt, then covering them with leaves so that they wouldn't be visible. The razor-honed knives would go through Ryan's heavy combat boots if he trod on them and stop him in his tracks. There was a 3-yard gap to ensure that if he fell at the first trap, he wouldn't fall onto the knives and be injured. Jack raised his head, his sharp hearing, picking up their oncoming friend.
Ryan coming.
Jack gestured for them to pull back into the shadows of the foliage.
Lover, this way! He's this way!
Christy then went into hiding. If Ryan had any doubts about his direction, she should have settled them. From their shelter, they could see him pound into view, his fierce-eyed blue orb blazing like a diamond in the restricted light. He was so hyped up that if they couldn't break the hypnotic hold, they would probably have to chill him to stop him. Hopefully, it wouldn't come to that.